Follow your passion. Is it good advice? Is it bad advice? Is it going to get you to the promised land, the place that you want to go? Or is it going to leave you wanting, leave you frustrated? The problem is most people interpret their passion based on how they feel and what feeling they want. And what I'm trying to say is, how do we rewire our brains in the way that we think to say, what I'm going to do is I'm going to choose to find passion in serving people. You said, providing for my future family. It's like, yes, but not because it's a weight you have to carry. See, that's how the enemy tricks you. It's not a weight you have to carry. It's a torch you get to carry. Every day the world wants to convince guys like you and guys like me that we must be doing something wrong if we feel like we're dying, if we feel like we're laying our life down. And yet what the Bible tells us is the way you know you're doing something right is when you feel like you're laying your life down. This idea of follow your passion, it's everywhere. Some people are adamantly for it and some people are adamantly against it. And so what we're here to explore today is following your passion actually good advice? So Jake, appreciate you being here as always, and let's dive in.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it too. You know, where this sort of idea of follow your passion and where I got this advice from and this idea to talk about this is I watched a Alex Hormozi video. And in this video, it was titled something along the lines of, in the past 38 years, here's what I learned and condensed into 19 minutes or something like that. And what he was talking about is basically this idea of following your passion is a myth, right? And then not two videos later, I watched a video from Mr. Beast, who is the most popular creator on the platform right now. And basically he was talking about how he gives all of his basis of the reason why he's in the position he is now is because his just absolute obsession with making YouTube videos and just following his passion. So you have these two basic titans of, you know, they're both really successful in the realm of what they do for work that are telling you completely opposite things. And I just feel like I'm just left confused after listening to both of them and both of them saying their pieces as to why to do what. And I'm just like, I'm just confused, honestly.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it takes me back to a couple of our conversations ago where we talked about this idea of focus, and with there being so many opinions out there and so many people whose opinions have widespread reach, oftentimes we can find ourselves in exactly that position where we're like, hey, there's 20 voices and they're all saying something a little bit different. And which one is right? Which one should I do? Which person should I follow? Which hero should I emulate, so to speak? And so I think that this topic is just a microcosm of what people feel in lots of different ways. But I think the reason passion, at least in my mind, is almost at the tip of that iceberg, or like many of the things flow down from that, is because I think many people in the world today are trying to figure out, like, is it okay if I don't like what I do for work? Because I spend so much of my time doing it every day, you know, like a third or a half of my life I spend working. And if I'm going to do that, like, shouldn't I enjoy it? And so I think that in many ways we can feel envious often of people who just love their work every day. I've heard people say in the past, you know, I've never worked a day in my life. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I think that there's a level of envy that if we're not careful, we can have towards people who say that. Now, at the same time, I think that where we maybe could start is, what do these guys even mean when they say passion? Like, what do you think they mean? Because I think that passion can be described differently from and by different people. And that's one of the things that I think is so important in today's day and age, and really always has been, is like, language matters. And oftentimes, if we're not defining the terms before we start having the conversations, then we might think we're talking about the same things, but in reality, we're not. And so where I think we should even start is, like, when these guys say passion, how do you interpret that? And what is it that it stirs up in you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think of, you know, on a personal note, it's like I have an idea of highlighting the upside in a potential venture, right? So, like, I'm really getting involved in wanting to start a business. I don't even know what it looks like right now. It looks like a fuzzy ball as of right now. But I have a vision of wanting to do that in the future because I understand that there's a amount of upside that comes with operating a business.
Yeah.
But as to the avenue that goes down is kind of the part where I'm like questioning what I think about what passion means to me. It's almost like, so I really love to hunt and I could it like when I am in out in the middle of the forest, like going after a deer or elk or something, it's like just time slows down. Like I've probably spent 200 or 300 hours just looking at graphical data, like spreadsheets and graphs and maps before I even go out there. It all just feels like I didn't work a day, right? I didn't work a day when I'm doing that. It's passion. So it's like one option is to start my business in the line of passion. And then the other option is like, man, I look at the world or not even necessarily the world, United States. And I see there's this huge gap of young people my age wanting to go into a service business or trade businesses where it's like, it's boring, it's mundane, it's a lot of paperwork, but there's a huge amount of upside because there's so little demand for young people my age getting into industries like that. So it's like, that's sort of where this is sprouting from. When I think of passion, I'm thinking of that thing that is like easy to do and I enjoy doing it and I love doing it.
Yeah, that's good. So what do you think it is about hunting? Because to me, I think like so much of this stuff is just mental. And I think you had mentioned to me before we jumped on here that one of the things Alex Hormozi said, and I'm correct me if I get this wrong, but something along the lines of really you're going to spend 95% of your time doing things you don't want to do. And you're going to spend 5% of your time doing 5% of your time doing things you're passionate about. Yeah, and if you tried to spend 100% of your time doing things you were passionate about, you wouldn't be passionate about them anymore, right?
Right. Yep.
Okay. So here's what I think about is take your hunting example. Right now you love hunting. There's something about it that you love. There's a feeling that it gives you. And it's like, well, what is it that evokes that feeling? And what is that feeling, right? And it's probably more than one feeling. Like there's probably a little curiosity. There's probably challenge, if that's a feeling, right? There's these different things that make up the overall feeling that you're chasing or that you're enjoying. And then I go, and now let's say that you took hunting and it became your business and you were doing it all the time in some way, shape, or form. Do you think some of those things that make you feel the way you really like while you're doing it for fun would start to wear off? In many ways, I think that's what Alex Hormozi is saying. Now, I look at Alex Hormozi and I go, man, obviously he's doing something right in business. He's obviously a good marketer. And yet I go, but do I want my life to look like his does? I mean, personally, I don't. There's probably lots of people who are watching this or that will watch this or that watch his videos that do. Obviously, that's why he's got such a huge following. So I'm not here to tell people what to do, but I'm here to say, like, for me personally, I love the idea of having kids. That's why I have a big family. I don't want to work every waking hour of my life because I don't think that when I die, I'm going to lay on my deathbed and say, man, I wish I would have worked more, right? That doesn't mean I don't think work's important. I work a lot. But I just think that like my ethos, my viewpoint, my worldview is different than a guy like Alex. And so what I'm going to pursue and try and go after and accomplish and achieve is different. And so I think for you and for me in this conversation and whoever's watching or listening to this, it's like, well, as it relates to this idea of passion, as it relates to this feeling that it's giving you, what is it about hunting that you really enjoy? That how does it make you feel? And then if you were doing that as a job all the time, do you think, right, that you would stop feeling that way towards it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think that's sort of a self-analysis of like, I look at my dogs. Like I look at my dogs, they eat the same dog food every day and they get excited over it. And to me, it's hard for me to relate to that sort of idea. But then there's other ideas. Also in the same video that Alex Hormozi said, is he said, quote unquote, he said, if you're single, you want to be married. And if you're married, you want to be single. And that idea is just something that I can't agree with. And it's because there's something that comes with a higher, I feel like there's a distinguishment. There's some sort of glass ceiling between those two ideas of like, let's say eating pizza every single night and being married to my wife. It's like, I want every single day I choose to be happily married to my wife. And it's the best decision I have. And I want to do that for the rest of my life. But eating pizza for the rest of my life, I'm probably good, you know? Right. So for hunting in that sense, it's like, I see that as a higher thing that I probably could spend every single waking day of my life doing that, because it brings that up in me. And that kind of leads to my next question of like, when we think about our past conversations, we've talked a lot about creating value. And I think one of the biggest things that comes with hunting for me, and that's just my ethos that I enjoy, is, you know, I want to be better than everybody else I can at it. Like, I want to be as the best I possibly can at it. And that, therefore, if I were to be able to productize that in a way that productize it, I could create more value because I absolutely love doing it. I think of the example of sports. You know, everybody who has played a sport, they've always either are the person or have met the person that just absolutely loves that sport. I'm sure you have in baseball. You've been probably the person in baseball. You're like, I love baseball. And then you look at other people on your team and they're like just mailing it in. You were probably always better or going to be better than people who are just mailing it in, you know? And it's not even necessarily that it's a skill thing. It's a love. It's a passion for the game. And I think that's kind of where it comes back to the value I can create, I feel like would be higher for something that I do follow my passion on, but, you know, versus something that maybe, you know, I'm not super passionate about.
Yeah. And I think one of the areas I think that this gets a little bit convoluted is, and this is why to me, everything goes back to what I read in my Bible is, mm-hmm. you know, and we had a conversation about this several months ago. I don't know if it's still online or not, but it's this idea of your undisputed purpose. And I think so often the reason that we wrestle and find so much friction in this very conversation is because what we're really wrestling with is it okay to live a life where I don't feel a certain way, the way I want to feel, passionate, whatever, all the time? And so it becomes, it's like if we dwell on it too much, it just becomes a me focus, this constant me focus. And then I'm trying to organize my entire life around me and my passion and my desire and my purpose and my this and my that. And it's like, but that's not what we were actually created for. We were created for God's image. We were created to reflect his image in the earth, and we were created to serve other people. And so I think I got a couple things I wrote down here. The first thing is, when I think about passion, what I really think it represents is energy. I think that the things that we're talking about, passion, it evokes like an emotional, like a love feeling, right? Mm. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think actually what it is there's certain things that you or I do that when we do them, we feel absolutely drained. And then there's other things that when we do them, we feel super energized. Like, that's what they call flow state. We could just go on and go on and go on. And so then you go, okay, well, should we pursue things that put us in flow state, or should we pursue things that drain our energy? And I think this is where like guru advice gets a little bit, a little wonky in my opinion, is a lot of gurus will try and make it sound like you're never going to have to operate outside of flow. And I think the reality is that no, you have to operate outside of flow. Now, we can pursue the minimization of doing that, right? Because we want to be doing things that give us energy. But here's the deal. Again, if we start turning that into our idol, if we start turning that into the thing that we're always pursuing because we're trying to make sure we feel a certain way, then again, we're going to miss the purpose of why we're here. And so I look at it and I go, when I think about what I'm going to do, or when you think about what you're going to do, and let's say we're talking about hunting for you, it's, did God give you gifts and talents that he wants you to utilize to serve other people in the sector of hunting? Because the reality is like the people, this is why I always say that business done right is service. Like Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest, be the least, and that he who wants to be the greatest will be the servant of all. And it's like we turn that into just servant in the way that we think of it, nonprofit, pastor, this or that. And yeah, that's partly true, but I also look at it this way, and this is just my opinion. I think, well, the person who's great in business, who's really there to serve his customers, he's also servant of all. Now, he makes a profit in doing it, but it's the profit that makes it scalable. That's why the nonprofits always require the money from the guys that are in the for-profits. Right. And so to me, I just go back and I say, and this is what part of what I hope to do here with these conversations is to say to people who are like me when I was 22, 2 years old and I was thinking into going into full-time professional ministry, but like I had this, I always had this business mind. I always had this love for business and enterprise and entrepreneurship and investing and compounding and all these things. It's like, yeah, and God put that in you and you can use that to serve people just the same way that a pastor or a nun or I don't know, anybody else who's serving people does. It just looks a little bit different. And so I would say all that to say, the question that I think you should be asking is there some way that you have gifts and talents to serve other people in a thing like hunting that when you find yourself doing it and you're no longer operating in flow state is meaningful enough to you and meaningful enough to the people you're doing it for that it will force you to keep on going. Like for me, when I was your age and or a little younger than you at this point, but playing baseball, it's like, man, 6 a.m. workouts and two-a-days and puking on runs and, you know, getting hurt and exercising and sprinting and all that. Like that's the equivalent of not doing the things that give you energy. That's the equivalent of doing things not in flow state. But it was doing all those things that made me better in the flow state. Now, if I hated baseball, I wouldn't have kept doing it. But I happen to really enjoy baseball. I love baseball. And the better I got at it, the more I loved it. And so the more pain I was willing to tolerate to continue doing it. And so the question is, now that was a baseball example, how do you apply that to your life in your ability to serve other people? I heard Charlie Kirk say one time, I'm not here to follow my passion. I'm here to multiply the things that God gave me that serve other people. I think his exact phrase was something like, I love college football. And if I was going to follow my passion, I would be doing something in college football. But the skills and the talents that God gave me were the ability to communicate and to persuade and to influence and to do that through the political realm. And so that's what I'm here to do. And he paid the ultimate price for it. And so to me, that was always, has always been a great picture of what does it look like? Jesus said, you got to lay your life down, pick up your cross and follow him. And so I think, Jake, that so often the confusion, and this is the thing, this is why it doesn't seem to go away. Because every day the world wants to convince guys like you and guys like me that we must be doing something wrong if we feel like we're dying, if we feel like we're laying our life down. And yet what the Bible tells us is the way you know you're doing something right is when you feel like you're laying your life down. Now, the friction is, which you and I talk about all the time, right? It's like walking a tightrope. Yeah. That doesn't mean that you just go looking for opportunities in life to find misery. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is if you're just pursuing these feelings for yourself at all costs, that is misery, right? Mm-hmm. When the reality is that I think what we got to find the ability to pursue is how can we serve other people? And then as we get better at it, how do we do it at scale?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think what, if I'm understanding what you're saying, it's more instead of, it's not necessarily the idea of following your passion that's inherently the reason why we're feeling this friction. I think what you're trying, if I'm understanding, is it's the why. It's the like you said, for the Charlie Kirk scenario, it's like he did what he did because he knew God had given him the talents to do that. The talents, you know, the figurative talents. And I think that's like one thing I've heard before also is, you put two guys on a treadmill and you say what you tell them both to walk, but you whisper in one guy's ear, walk unless your family's back behind here. And every time, if you stop, then we're pushing him off a bridge or something, right? That guy's going to walk forever. He's going to walk until his feet are bleeding. Right. And I think that's what, if I'm understanding you correctly, is that's kind of what you're talking about is the why behind it. And, you know, just doing a little bit of an analysis of our original two examples of Alex Ramosi and Mr. Beast, like two completely opposite views. But if I could synthesize something really fast, it's both of them have just an absolute lightning bolt why. They both just like, there was no reason why or why not to do it. Both of them were just like, I'm going to do it at this cost. They were the ones on the treadmill that their family was in danger. And they're like, I'm going. And so I see what you're saying. I think that the clarification needs to come from the why as to, you know, that reason. Cause I think one of the other things is that, you know, the other option that I gave was to do something that was a little bit more mundane, go into a service industry or trade business. And by doing that, that will also give me the option to follow my passion in the free time. That will fund my passion in this time. Maybe it's not 5% like Alex Ramosi is saying, but fund that part of it to go hunting, or, you know, something even better than that, you know, support my family. Like the biggest thing that I'm thinking of right now in the back of my mind is the reason why I'm trying to go for the upside that I want to, is because I want to give my future children opportunities that I didn't necessarily have. And like, that's my why right now.
Sure. I wrote down two things as you were talking that way, as it relates to the why. I wrote down, we would do well to think about what passions we have. Like, what are the passions we have that we can use to serve people? Because when I think about it, I go, Mr. Beast, like, and then I wrote down, so before I do that, I said, the first one was passion that serves people. The second one is passion that pushes limits. And I think that there's like a melding of those two, because if I think of Mr. Beast as the first example, he had a passion for art, for video, for whatever it was in the actual craft or the art. But then he also obviously had a passion for like impacting people's lives and all the challenges he does and the giveaways and the philanthropic things, right? So on one hand, he had a passion to push the limits of what he could see as possible for himself, right? It's almost self-serving. But the Bible says like to the degree you love yourself is to the degree to which you'll love others, right? So it's not that you don't love yourself. It's just that you don't focus on yourself. But if you don't love yourself, you won't love others. Well, Mr. Beast, he had a passion for the thing he was good at, he was interested in, but he found a way and he got inspired by learning how to harness that into helping other people, right? And so what I'm just saying, think about Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett's 94 years old. I think this year he turns 95, and he's still passionate about doing what he's been doing for the last 70 years. And it's like, well, why? Well, because I think the same thing. He had a passion for the vision that he could see to push limits that nobody else maybe thought were possible, right? That you could think of as like the self-passion on one shoulder. But he coupled that with like the passion of actually creating wealth for hundreds, if not thousands, if not tens of thousands of other people. And also totally changing the conversation as it relates to money and investing for several generations now. And so you think about the people who have made the biggest impact in our lives, the people that we've seen, are those kinds of people, right? Alex Hormozi even. And I don't agree with a lot of the things, or maybe not a lot, with several of the things that maybe he would propose. But you go, listen, he's obviously passionate about business. He's obviously passionate about making money. He's obviously passionate about pushing the limits in those areas. But he's also passionate, as you can tell, about helping other people do the same. And so I just go, well, Jake, is there a way, because if you like hunting that much, is there a way to turn it into, one, you want to push the limits of your own ability to hunt, but then you want to figure out how to then translate that into helping other people? Because here's the difference. People who find something that, if we want to call that passion, right, passion for serving people and passion for pushing limits, if we want to turn that into, let's say, a framework, right, that we can judge things by as to whether or not we should pursue them, then on the flip side, and then let's say for the models, we say like Warren Buffett and Mr. Beast, they were passionate about pushing limits and they were passionate about serving people. And then you take, well, what's the other side? The other side is a guy who like literally doesn't care. And all he's trying to do is just save enough money so he can retire someday, so that then he can go play golf for 4 hours a day. And I go, Jake, which guy do you think lives the fuller life? Which guy do you think lives the more fruitful life? It's never the guy that just did everything as a means to his own end, a means to his own, you know, selfish desire so he could just check out. It's like the video game guy that we talked about before, because right, he never found that thing that he was so gifted in that he could push the limits like other people couldn't push, because he could see what they couldn't see, because he was capable of what they weren't, and because he would work harder than they would. He could never get to that point. And so he just settles for a life of good enough, right? And so that's where I think, you know, maybe if as a framework people can think about as they're watching or listening to this. Don't think about passion as just this feeling that you get, because it's so subjective. Think about passion as like, what's that thing that you do that gives you energy, where you just want to push the limits, and then where you can actually see a path to helping change other people's lives and serve other people through that.
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, the position that I'm in, and maybe that people are listening are in, is when you think of the phrase, pursue or follow your passion, it's also often the time of when you're in a position of having to make a decision, right? And that decision is choosing a left or a right, or a, you know, probably more than often and not a roundabout or something, you know, multiple different avenues. And, you know, I guess my question to you would be, would you say that feeling that you're having that you just described is like an indicator for which path to take?
What do you, help me understand that better. What do you mean?
So like the feeling of when I go hunting and like that feeling, the feeling that you just described of being able to just like do it at no cost, you know, is that the indicator to go down a specific path? Like, let's say, like for me, I think about hunting and I get this feeling inside. It's like an excitement. It's like it's a drive. But then I get this feeling inside of taking care of my future kids. And it's just like a gut. It's this like an overwhelming feeling. And it's like, to me, if I'm understanding you correctly, that sort of feeling, that obligation that I've had, like I have the talents that God has given me, and now I have a choice of a path to go down. The way to identify whether you're making a decision out of just a passion based of going and let's say going hunting for the rest of my life and being a bum, or, you know, going down a different path, that feeling that it's giving me, is that like an indicator?
Got it. Well, you ever seen American Idol?
Yeah.
You know how like there'd be a lot of people that came up with a total passion and they were god awful singers?
Yeah.
Right. So just because you have a feeling doesn't mean that you have a future. Right. So oftentimes one of the ways to judge or gauge whether or not something that you feel a passion for is actually something that you should spend time and effort pursuing is, do you have a feedback loop telling you that it's worthwhile to do so? Right. Like that's the thing that's so great about sports. That's why, like, even in the cultural conversations right now, when we talk about diversity and equity and inclusion and all that stuff, it never applies to sports, right? Mm-hmm. Because like nobody would watch sports if the best guys and the best gals weren't on the field every time, right? It just wouldn't, like, there would be no point. And so when you think about it, sports is, it just has this, I mean, and listen, there's sometimes favoritism and people are on the field that shouldn't be, but by and large, it's a meritocracy environment. And so the reality is how do we set ourselves up in those situations? And that's where some level of self-awareness is so important, right? Because like you notice in American Idol, the kids that were terrible or the adults that were terrible, but like they had a few people in their ear, their mom or their sister telling them how great they were. Like they lacked self-awareness to see that actually they sucked. And so on one hand, it's have enough humility, have enough self-awareness to say like, how would I judge this fruit? What good feedback have I gotten? And the other thing I'll say is, as it relates to, because some people might watch this and go like, yeah, but we're still not answering the question of, are there enough paths out there for us in the world today to for everyone to just pursue what they're passionate about in whatever sense you want to describe it? And here's what I would say. Listen, we live in the most insane time in human history, to the point where if you have a passion for hunting and you have any creativity, you can make a living doing it, and you can make a great living doing it. And if you decide not to, it's not because it wasn't possible. It's just because you didn't get creative enough. It's because you didn't try hard enough. It's because you didn't sacrifice it enough. It's because you didn't fail enough. It's because you just chose to go do something else. And there might be good reasons for that, because yes, if you have a family, you might not be able to pursue that, and that's fine. So then the question is, okay, well, could you run, let's say, a septic pumping company and be passionate about it? Well, if your passion is to serve people, I would say yes. See, and this is the problem. The problem is most people, and this is, I don't think I articulated this clearly in the first place. The problem is most people interpret their passion based on how they feel and what feeling they want. And what I'm trying to say is, how do we rewire our brains in the way that we think to say, what I'm going to do is I'm going to choose to find passion in serving people. Because then all of a sudden, all your opportunities to be passionate, they're everywhere, right? Like if you wake up every day and you're like, my passion today is to find someone to serve, then I don't care what business you're in. You can do it. Now, are there going to be things, just like I said earlier with baseball, that like, man, I don't like doing payroll, or man, I don't like doing interviews, or man, I don't like whatever. Yes. But if you're really passionate about serving people, which is what you're here for, it's what you were created for, then it will be still worth it. Now, does that mean you can never make a pivot or change your business or your career? No. But my point is I think we end up enslaved to this idea of, oh God, I don't feel passionate right now. And then we're a slave to our feelings. And then we choose to be miserable. And then we miss the whole point of why we're here in the first place, because we weren't created for ourselves. We were created for His image and to serve people.
Yeah, I think you're totally right with the idea of it is probably a pretty insane time right now. This is what probably 10 or 20 years ago it was insane. And now even with AI, it's doubled. You know, 10 years ago, there was people talking about following your passion. And this is the first time really in history that you could say follow your passion. Right. And now you can go and get a team of AI agents and build your passion in 2 days and make it a multi-team business. And so that's where this idea of this conversation really sprouted from. And the other thing that, you know, you just mentioned is, you know, that made me think of it is, you know, hard times make tough people and easy times make soft people. And, you know, what I feel like I'm trying to avoid is to become soft. You know, I want to stay hard because I have a obligation to my family to do that and to provide and to be everything that I'm supposed to be that God has designed me to be. So yeah, I think your advice is excellent.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I think that as far as, you know, raising a family and being a provider, it's like everything else. There's only two motivators that I have found. The first is fear and the second is love. And oftentimes people are being motivated by fear, thinking it's love. And so what I would say is that when you or any of us who are watching this, listening to this, thinking about these kinds of things, who are in a position of responsibility, in a position of providing, the minute that we, as soon as we start thinking of it, like, oh my gosh, I got to do this, right? Requirement. All of a sudden there's a burden. And fear kills all creativity. Once you become afraid, you can't still be creative. See, love and opportunity is the exact opposite. And so, see, I think what holds people back most of the time is that they're saying that they're doing things because of a love that they have. But really, it's just a cover for not doing things because of a fear that they have. And the fear is rooted in something they love or someone they love. But what I'm trying to say is if we really want to pursue the things that we've been created for, the things that we've been gifted in, we literally cannot do that. We literally cannot find the creativity to do the thing that God put in us if fear is what's motivating us. So instead, let it be love, let it be opportunity, let it be, dare I say, passion, but passion in that sense, right? Where we just go, hey, this should feel terrifying. But I trust God. I trust that He has a plan. I trust that He put this in me. I trust that He knows I want to serve people. And I trust that when I go, He's going to provide. And even if I fail or even if I stumble, He's going to work it together for good. And in the end, because He's sovereign, nobody can do anything to thwart what His plan is for me. See, the only thing that can thwart His plan for us is us choosing not to believe, is us choosing not to walk in it. And so for me, I think that I just wanted to add that because in this conversation, you know, twice or three times you said providing for my future family. And it's like, yes, but not because it's a weight you have to carry. See, that's how the enemy tricks you. It's not a weight you have to carry. It's a torch you get to carry. Mm.
Yeah. And I think that's so good. And that's how I've been, you know, shifting my mind is I've been given a gift. I've been given the abilities. I've been given the tools to do it. Now it's up to me to make that decision. And it's an easy decision when it feels like a gift. And it feels like the whole reason why I'm doing it is because, you know, I can. And that he has allowed me to, and he's given me the opportunity to. And, you know, I'd ask anybody listening, it's like, if you make it feel like an opportunity, most people, if it would say yes to an opportunity, you'd have to be blind to say no to a good opportunity. So, yeah.
It's good. So maybe for a takeaway for the week, maybe something actionable. If you're watching, you're still listening 34 and a half minutes later. First, thanks for being here. If you like this video, we'd love it if you'd hit like and subscribe, follow along with for the journey. And then if you think that somebody you know would benefit, would you share it with them? And then do this for us over the next week. Maybe just keep an inventory as the week goes on. What are the things that you're doing that are giving you energy? What are the things that you're doing that you're like, man, I really think that there's more possible. There's a limit that I feel like I want to push. There's a vision or a future that I think I can see that maybe other people can't see. And that's kind of what gives me that passion, that energy. So write those down. And then next to that, or in a column next to that, write down, which ones of those, like, do you feel a fire for helping other people do the same, right? Like, how can each one of those things that you listed, how can those things be then converted to serving people, helping people, moving people further, lifting people up, whatever it might be? And I think that's a good exercise as you go through your week to just help you start thinking in the mindset of not passion for your sake, but passion for others' sake that God is able to use because he put that passion inside of you. He didn't put it inside of you for you. He put it inside of you for you to serve others. And so try that this week. And we'd love to hear how it went. Maybe leave us a comment if you want to come back and let us know how it went. And we'll see you next time.